we pull away from our parents and in an effort to create our own individual identity. So that's sort of a normal transition. But add to that this whole idea of being transplanted, you know, for me, it was, and my siblings, it wasn't easy to assimilate into a new culture. So it, I, for me, we each, my brothers and I, we all had separate experiences and they handled it differently. For me, I think I really, you know, I'm a very social person. I wanted to have friends. I needed a posse. I needed my peeps. And, because I felt insecure, you know, I felt a lot of insecurity at that time and I didn't really know, which was really difficult at a time when you're really trying to find your own identity. Security goes a long way and being insecure can lead to low self-esteem and second guessing and all of these things, which I think came into play for me. And I became very rebellious with my parents over the years, you know, not immediately, but certainly by like 16, I was pretty rebellious, 15, 16, you know, in terms of my appearance, cut my hair and, you know, I was into punk and new wave. First I was into just rock and roll and then I went into punk and I cut my hair and I would wear heavy makeup and, you know, listening to Black Sabbath, you know, freaked out my mother, who is a staunch Irish Catholic woman, because she was afraid that I was turning into a devil worshiper. You know, she couldn't for the life of her understand that it was just a band, you know, with a name. And she would be, what is this? What is this? Black Sabbath? That's, what is that? Are you a devil worshiper? And it was, you know, it was all fun stuff, right? It's just a vibe. It's a look, which teenagers like to do. But my parents were very threatened by it. That's the other thing. They were not, as much as I was rebelling, which could be considered natural, they were very threatened by it. And the more threatened they were by it, the more they clamped down on me and we would get into terrible fights. And at the same time, you know, my dad, your grandfather, was really having a hard time with his transition. His work took a hit moving here. He had to step down in his position from being a director of engineering and basically running an airline to, you know, taking a position in a regional office. And I think his ego took a boost and he started to drink very heavily. And he always had a propensity for alcoholism and it really kind of went into overdrive. So, and that was very difficult. And I just moved further and further away from them and felt like we had nothing in common. I couldn't really talk to them. They didn't understand me. I didn't understand them. And for many years, it was really, really hard. I think I walked away as much as I could, you know. I found comfort with my friend. I had found my friend Diane, and we were very close. And I think I depended on her and the security of her family a lot. I spent a lot of time at their house, and I loved that because it was very normal and warm and loving. And so I think I would shut the door at my parents' house and leave all the dysfunction behind. You know, I would walk away from the house. It was an apartment. I would walk away from the apartment and I would literally separate myself from the drama and the dysfunction that was at home, you know, because I was very upset. It was very upsetting. My parents would fight a lot. There's a very ugly side to any sort of addiction and dysfunction, and communication is at an all-time low and misunderstanding, and it was just really, really hard. And you know, there were many things I needed to address in terms of my emotional state of mind from growing up with substance abuse. And so I did join Al-Anon in my late 20s, And it really, it saved my life. It taught me how to reprogram my brain and my emotions and my heart, and taught me to have self-esteem and things that I didn't have from growing up in such a fraught and destructive environment. So, I did seek much counseling over the years, but mostly as an adult.